Good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country as BBM, Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Give us a call, have your say, 1-800-422-416. Now, guideline for pharmacists supporting Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples was launched at the PSA 22, that's the Pharmaceutical of Australia. And we're going to catch up a yarn now with Professor Faye McMillan. Faye, you there? Good morning.
Good morning, Trev. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based? Where are you calling from?
I'm coming to you from Cooloman on the Wiradjuri Nation, and pay my respects to elders, past, present and emerging, of all of the mobs that are represented across your listening audience.
Beautiful, Faye. Thank you so very much. Acknowledge to our daily mobs out there. Now, talking about this beautiful space here, the PSA, Pharmaceutical Society of Australia, launched guidelines for pharmacists supporting Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples with medicines management and as part of the PSA 22. Look, it's a table where First Nation people are out and are involved in the conversation in regard to, their medicines as such, yes?
Yeah, it was the opportunity to have more than just a seat at the table. It was the opportunity to be, you know, planning the meal, sitting down and talking about what was important to have in there, you know, the nutrition and making sure it was sustainable. So it was a really valuable relationship that had existed between PSA and NACHO and, you know, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people on the advisory group and on the writing group to make sure that we were truly included and we were driving the agenda rather than the other fellas driving us.
Yeah, beautiful. So, and you did mention NACHO, National Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Organisation. So, of course, they're at the table. You're conversing with them as a national peak body for Pharmaceutical of Australia. So, so very important. And those two national peak bodies are communicating and for our people, yes.
Yeah, you know, these relationships are central to health and well-being for us, and we know that now. You know, we always knew it. We just needed other fellows to come to the table, and welcome that. And, you know, PSA have really engaged in that and recognised that it is all about the relationships and that we won't be able to do any of this if we don't have honest and authentic relationships. And so, you know, that's where it started. And, you know, hopefully over the coming years, we won't see it take so long for the guidelines to be updated, because we learn something new each day about,
exactly,
you know, working with our mob and how we do that effectively.
Well, when we're talking about professionals as yourself, and we're talking about the Pharmaceutical Pharmaceutical Society of Australia, we are talking professionals at the table, but when you're conversing with First Nation people, you all need to become students in that sense. You know what I mean? To have that conversation. And we have the answer to our problems as First Nation people, but we need that opportunity to communicate and translate that information as such, yes?
That's exactly right. You know, pharmacists talk about being medicines experts, but, you know, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples and organisations and communities are experts on their cultures, their knowledge systems. And when we see each other in that light of, you know, knowledge holders coming together to share, to make sure that, you know, we don't make the same mistakes we have before and we keep moving in a strength-based approach.
And in regards to that, so we're talking about PSA and we're talking about NACHO, who else is important in regarding that bridge that we are building in regard to communication? Are we talking about the medical world, in doctors, universities? Are they at the table as well?
We're talking about all of them,
yes.
The opportunity to engage across all of those different spaces, the pipelines that feed in that get more professionals and also more Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander professionals into the organisations, you know, the relationships across other peak bodies, Indigenous Allied Health Australia, you know, Congress of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Nurses and Midwives, Indigenous Doctors Association, you know, all of these Aboriginal and on the health workers and practitioners, you know, they all need to be involved in the conversations,
exactly,
because they've got the connections. And when we recognise that we all have to do this together and look at, you know, what our ancestors and our elders give to us now, which is this sense of true reconciliation, of coming together and making sure that, you know, we are learning from each other and actually taking the good bit, saying, well, what can we do better with the other bits that, you know, we still need to work on?
Exactly. And you mentioned First Nation doctors and professionals and what have you. Do you know off the top of your head, Faye, any First Nation pharmacists out there?
Well, Trev, you're talking to one. I'm a Radri
woman.
My
sister, of course, darling. I didn't even ask who your mob were you from. My apologies, my sister. Who your mob were you from?
So, I'm a Radri woman from Central West in New South Wales, a little place called Trangie.
Okay.
And 21 years ago this year, I was the first recognised Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander person to graduate from a pharmacy program in Western medicine.
Good.
But I always say I acknowledge that our ancestors and that we now still continue to practice pharmacy from our own cultural points of view.
True.
And, you know, looking at the data, in pharmacy profession, we've still got a way to go. We're less than 1% of the pharmacy population.
So there's room for more mob to join us.
More mob to join us, and, you know, working with organisations such as NACHO, you know, the Pharmaceutical Society, as well as the Guild, to look at increasing the number of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who see themselves as pharmacists, want to share and bring their lived experiences of their culture and their lived, and go on and do a profession that allows them to use both of those knowledge systems.
Exactly.
You know, as really. So, yeah, we do have them, and, you know, I'm also fortunate to be one of two Deputy National Rural Health Commissioners for rural, remote and regional Australia in Allied Health, and, you know, seriously looking at how do we work with each of those workforces, medical, nursing and allied health, to increase the number of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who feel culturally safe to participate in all of these different professions that we need.
Well, exactly. And you and I know you can't beat black on black, and we've got professional black people dealing with our black people. I mean, that's the best ingredient, isn't it, sister?
Oh, look, you know, when you can see yourself, or you know that there are people in there that will come to you non-judgmental, understand the strength of what your culture brings when you use it as that strengthening factor, then it nothing can beat it.
Exactly, exactly. So more room for more. Look, it's great to see that the PSA have got our people at the table in that conversation and helping with the ingredient regarding the food and the analogy we were using. It's great to see. Great to be yarning with you, Sister Professor Faye McMillan. You're too deadly, sis, and we'll yarn soon. And big shout out there to your mob down that way.
Thanks, Trev. You take care and your mob too, mate.
All right. Bye-bye, sis.
Bye-bye.
Deadly yarn there, Professor Faye McMillan, and talking about the guidelines for pharmacists supporting Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island peoples, launched at the PSA 22, and that was the conference for the Pharmaceutical Society of Australia. That's what PSA stands for. And Ray didn't realise, but Sister Professor Faye McMillan, a First Nation woman, Wadri woman, and of course she said there's plenty of space there for black people to become pharmacists as such, and she was the first one 20-odd years ago. So room for more, you mob. May look at that as an industry as such, as a pathway, career pathway. Have your say in Yana Strong. Add the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
And, yeah, we are the Briscoe Sisters, and thank you all for coming. In your book, in the very bum, a 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 b
Every night. On the way to a brand new day.
Yeah, brand new day. Knuckles Band here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in yarn up strong. Give me a call, 1-800-422-416. That's the number you need to call regarding our yarn here on National Talk Black. Yarn with the ball, you're on Trevor Tim, 20 Trev, Murray from Macquarie. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumblebrip Media, 90.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, the National News Radio Service. So yarn up strong, you mob. Let's look at the top stories and news. So, unfortunately, sad news, Olivia Newton-John's cause of death. Well, Hollywood is in mourning following news that Aussie entertainer, icon, Olivia Newton-John has died at the age of 73. Very sad affair there. The other news, the 60 millionaires who paid no tax and the richest and the poorest, postcodes revealed. High-flying real estate agent charged over Sydney stabbing. Saudi sisters refuse visas to stay in Australia. FBI executes search warrant at Mar-a-Lago, Trump says. Does Australia actually need nuclear submarines? Mum dies in her sleep in front of her children on flight back to UK. Said Wayne Carey and Anthony Stevens in verbal stoush at North Melbourne Premiership reunion. China delivers blow to Albanese after unacceptable act. So they're the headlines here on your daily program, National Talk Black. I'd love to hear your headlines, what's happening with your mob, your clan, your tribal mob organisation. Either way, all these here on your yarns here on National Talk Black. 1-800-422-416.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it. Belongs to our people means
more than a place to hunt and roam. Reserved for the past and present, 'cause it's our Aboriginal spiritual home. But you may call it divide and conquer, hey, but no more. You've lived a lie. Say, hey, where you from, my brother? I come from there, from another side. Hey, me, you call them Pungai, from Yarraba, where my people reside. But I say, hey, where you from, my brother?
On the street one day, I saw a policeman. He come up to me and he did say, what are you doing, son? I said I didn't think that I was doing any harm. Then he went and moved me on. Said I was taking arms. Have you got arms for the beggar man? Have you got arms for the beggar man?
Yeah, beautiful voice there. That's Uncle Archie Roach with us in spirit. Beggar Man here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yarn, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev Murray from the Curry. We're coming to you live from the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM Bumblebrit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS National News Radio Service. Big shout out to the team down there at NERS, to Deadly Mob, and their house there at the Beamer office, Brisbane Indigenous Media Association. And big shout out there to Jai and his team as well. All right, now the statement here is, ask any body language tips released to enhance dementia workforce skills. Dementia Australia is today launching the latest module in the Ask Any app ahead of Aged Care Employee Day on Sunday to enhance our care workers' knowledge of how our body language can impact a person living with dementia. And with that conversation, we're going to have a yarn now with Dementia Australia CEO, Marie McCabe AM, on the line. Marie, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Where are you based, Marie?
I live in Melbourne, and I'm in Melbourne today. Often I'm elsewhere across the country.
Thank you. You're home.
I'm home, and it is freezing here. I'm very envious.
Yeah, singlet and shorts up here in Cairns, North Queensland.
No shorts down here, Trevor. Trust me, it is really hot.
Look, thinking of you, yes. So talking about this fantastic new app, Ask Any App. I mean, it's about communicating with dementia. This is a great tool, for workers in the industry, but families and to all humans, to be communicating with our loved ones with dementia, yes?
Absolutely, Trevor. And we released the latest module about body language, as you said, on Aged Care Employee Day to really acknowledge and thank our aged care workers for their amazing contribution. But this app is fabulous for anybody that is working with or living with people living with dementia, and it really gives some fabulous tips and great insight into how best to support people.
So give us some ideas how it works. Is it a voice things or the expression of faces, or explain the app there, please.
Okay, so the app, Ask Any App, we developed it with aged care workers because we know that they're time poor. We know that they often need information at their fingertips, and sometimes they don't have a peer to ask. And if they're working on their own, they might be out in the community, they may be working in a residential aged care home, but everybody's got a mobile phone.
Yes, exactly. And it's using technology.
They can access. Exactly. Mm. And they can go into the app and say, how do I get Mrs. Smith into the shower? And the app will give all of this information in dot points about what to try. Or I can't get Mr. Allen to eat his dinner. And it'll give more information. And then after the shift, people can go into the app and do a 10-minute module. And there's animation, there's speaking, there's reading. So it speaks to all ways that we learn and gives some really great content.
For our workers to upskill themselves or new ideas, so to speak, but then there's motion, there's things happening, and it gets both parties at ease, you could say.
Absolutely, and it provides the information instantaneously in small bites. So it's based on micro-learning principles, and the feedback that we've had from people working in aged care is they love the app.
Good.
They love the information, and it is really helpful and really to the point.
Good. And look, how are we travelling in that department? We've just we're still in the midst of COVID-19. How are you guys travelling in regard to that space as workers in aged care and people with dementia?
Look, that has been such an important element of the work that we've been doing over the last 2 years, Trevor. And one of the things that we did, we released a help sheet for people living with dementia, for carers, family carers of people living with dementia, and healthcare workers of people living with dementia. It has been an incredibly difficult time. And, of course, there are significant issues for aged care around workforce, around the COVID-19 pandemic and multiple outbreaks, and it is far from over. So we've done a lot of work to support the aged care industry during this time, and also to support families of people living with dementia and people living with dementia. And one of the things that the research has found is that in periods of isolation where people living with dementia have not been able to receive visitors, that their dementia has actually exacerbated, that they have progressed more quickly.
Yeah.
And there have been some very difficult stories
of
where family members have not been able to visit, and after weeks of not being able to visit, when they do, their loved one doesn't remember them.
Yeah, so very sad. It breaks my heart.
Yeah,
breaks your heart, doesn't it?
It breaks
your heart. And what about the, would you have the numbers of dementia patients rising in the last couple of years?
Well, in Australia, we've got around 480,000 Australians living with dementia, and by 2058, without a breakthrough of some sort, we expect around 1.1 million. In Queensland, we've got around 94,000 people living with dementia, and we expect around over 200,000 by 2058. And the other thing we know, Trevor, is that the data indicates that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people experience dementia at a 3 to 5 times higher rate than the general Australian population. So
there's another gap to be closed there as well.
Absolutely. Mm. Much work to be done.
And what about when you look at dementia in that sense, Marie, you know, like is it an age thing as we get older, or can young people catch dementia?
Oh, absolutely. And look, it is more common as we age, but it's not a normal part of ageing. Ageing, though, is the biggest risk factor. But there are people in their 30s, 40s and 50s, Trevor, that develop dementia. And fortunately, that's much rarer, but it certainly does happen. And it's something that we want the community to understand, so that everyone can support people living with dementia to live well.
And so it's a mental thing, is a mental capacity in regarding memory, and part of the brain shut down.
Not just memory, and I love that you raised that, because it's so important. It depends on the type of dementia. So there are about 100 different types of dementia.
Whoa.
Alzheimer's disease, is the most common, and about 65% of people with dementia have Alzheimer's disease. That type of dementia does affect memory, but the other types of dementia may not. It may be that what people notice is a change in mood, change in personality, but in all types of dementia, they will lose the ability to do something.
Mm.
And it might be that all of a sudden they find it difficult to find their way home from very familiar places, or they find it difficult to remember people's names, which is a more common one.
Mm.
They might find it difficult to be able to figure out money. And, you know, but there's always a loss of function with dementia.
So certain aspects of life they forget.
That's right.
Mm.
They can no longer do. And what happens is cells in the brain die off, and depending on the part of the brain that is affected, then it depends on the symptoms that show up.
Okay. And Marie, look, thank you for the yarn, but we're talking about the new app, Ask Annie. Is that free of charge to download?
The first 6 modules are free of charge. We've made those free of charge. The others, if aged care providers want to download them, they buy a license.
Yes.
And the more licenses they buy, the less expensive it is. But the first 6 modules have been given free of charge to support our aged care workforce and acknowledge them.
Beautiful.
For the great work that they do.
And you're doing a fantastic job. Marie McCabe AM, thank you so very much. You keep smiling. Stay warm, sister, and we'll yarn soon, hey?
So great to talk with you, Trevor. Thank you very much.
Take care, darling. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
A beautiful yarn there. That's Marie McCabe AM, Dementia Australia CEO, and just talking about the new Ask Any app. It's ahead of the Aged Care Employee Day on Sunday. So, look, fantastic. Any Ask Any body language tips released to enhance dementia workers and their skills. So, but great for everybody to be communicating with loved ones with dementia, and a sad disease it is. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong here. Add to the conversation. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
Baka. Black sister, where you going? How you doing? Where you been? I ain't seen you on the scene for a couple of weeks. By all means, stay on your road. You gotta do your thing. But please don't sell your soul for a couple.
couple of Jakes. Embrace your black skin and your race within. You're blessed by your blackness and your dark skin kin. Raise strong black kids, forever's drugs in the bin. And you'll be bound to make your old people look at you and grin. Stand strong like the matriarchy. And titter, I am higher than the stars can reach. You ain't gotta act different when it comes to me. I believe in your sister, take a walk with me. The deep of her roots, black woman in a white man's world. It's tough being sexualized, she's always black. That's enough, you're worth more than getting treated like dirt. Show love and give your sisters what they truly deserve. Respect, we're sick and tired of getting treated as less. Saying bad sex sells, but I got no products for pets. The way you treat your woman has you looking real oppressed. She got her law, you got yours, it's time to have it addressed. If she stands with you, then stand with her. Cause handing down this healing is a bigger picture. Got nothing to do with your sexual preference. This is about our solidarity, that's it in question.
Yeah, Stomping Ground Warrumpi Band here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong Your Mob, 1-800-422-416. Yarn Up with the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Coming live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israel Air Service. I want to give a big shout out to the Mossman Gorge Centre celebrating 10 years. And congratulations to all the bummers up that way. And I was lucky enough to be there yesterday. Say in their celebration. Look, we're going to talk now to the deadly general manager of Mossman Gorge Centre. That's Rachel Hodges on the line. My sister, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good, Rach. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
So I'm originally a Gurang Gurang Gunganji Gitamay girl. I've been brought up in Cairns all my life.
To Deadly Sister. Congratulations there, Mossman Gorge. 10 years. How long have you been on board, sis?
Oh, I've been on board since prior to the centre opening. I've spent about 9 to 10 years with Roy Gibson and the Mossman Gorge community. So I've been involved in this journey for nearly 20 years and 10 years working at the centre.
Oh, fantastic. How many First Nation people employed with the centre?
So, over 70% of our team are Indigenous, and 80% of those are from the local Gooyalangi people.
Yes, a big shout out to the Gooyalangi people. Operating on country, nothing better than working on country, you know, and looking after your own country, you know, and getting paid to do that. Best job in the world. And having the centre there as well as employment, what does it do for the environment and protection of the gorge?
So prior to Mossman Gorge Centre opening, we had over 500,000 people driving into the National Park every year. Since the road's been closed and people now have to travel via shuttle bus, we've certainly seen, you know, a reduction in the amount of carbon emissions that are going up into the rainforest. So, vehicle access is very limited now that we've got the centre in place.
And, of course, there's a township there as well, a suburb or communities based there at the gorge. So it sort of protects their privacy as well, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. So no longer have all these vehicles travelling through there. It's also a lot safer for the children in that they don't have massive amounts of vehicles travelling through the community every day.
Yeah, fantastic. We're talking about First Nation people working there with the centre. Just confirm, Rach, the sort of jobs that are on offer there at the Mossman Gorge Centre.
So currently we're looking for food and beverage attendants, and we also are looking for shuttle bus drivers. And if there are any cooks out there, you know, an additional cook would also be handy.
Yeah, good. Fantastic. Yes. So, look, 10-year celebration, it's a team effort. The buzz yesterday there at the celebration was fantastic, and all staff, all smiles, and look, black and white, and working together and working on country.
Yes, that's right. That's the whole idea of the centre, you know, Uncle Roy Gibson said was it's about sharing culture, and this is working towards reconciliation.
And I noticed that the owners of the sugarcane farm there, which sold to the First Nation people there to operate the Mossman Gorge Centre, that was a beautiful relationship, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
It still is.
Yeah, it still is. As Roy said in his talk, you know, he's been involved with the Murday family here pretty much all his life, and he was very lucky and the community very lucky that they were able to provide this piece of land so that the centre could be built on it.
Yeah, no, fantastic. So 10 years, my sister, another 10 more to go for you and then hand the baton over, or how you sitting?
Well, the whole idea is that, you know, eventually we'll train up all our Bummer and Indigenous staff into all of these leadership and management positions. You know, that's the whole intent of the business. And, yeah, one day I can retire and let somebody else take over the reins.
Fantastic. And congratulations to the board of directors as well. I believe Karen Gibson, she had a yarn there yesterday as well and did a prayer there. So it is a team effort, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah. We work closely with BBN and we're only going to ensure that that relationship with the Mossman Gorge community is to strengthen more and more, because at the end of the day, the dream came out of that community and you know, we need to strive to ensure that they're a part of this and, right through this whole journey.
And just confirm, you did say BBN. You're yarning here on BBM, but BBN, give the acronym, and they're the board of directors, is that right?
Yeah, so BBN is Bumigabubu Ngarramunkul.
Wow.
And they're the corporation that looks after the Mossman Gorge community.
All right, and yarning here on BBM. So Two Deadly, my sister, good yarning with you, and congratulations once again. A big shout out to your Deadly team up there, and especially Uncle Roy and Sister Karen there, my sister.
Okay, thank you very much, Trevor.
Take care, Rachel. Bye-bye, Dale.
Thank you. Bye.
Beautiful yarn there. Rachel Hodges, General Manager of Mossman Gorge Centre, celebrating 10 years. So very exciting and great to be up there and catch up with a lot of tourism operators, you know, black and white as well, in the celebration up there at Mossman and next door neighbour to Port Douglas, of course. Fantastic. So congratulations, 10 years. Stay tuned, you mob. 7 minutes left on program on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Only one, B2M, here on your daily program, BBM National Talk Black. That's the program. We're going to catch up with Solwyn. Good morning, my brother. How are you?
I'm all right, brother. Yeah, I rang up 22. I had a long winded, you know, and I want to have with you about the shooting in Proserpine. I'll do it tomorrow. And Margaret River near Perth, about that old fellow killing 7 members of his family.
Yes.
That brother, Manawap Nona, and sea rights, like property rights. Mm. And Brother Greg English and land rights, but I'll do that probably tomorrow.
Sure.
But just a short one. So, brother's the most celebrated Kamau.
Kamau.
He was so quiet. He was so quiet on the Bilawila mob, brother.
Mm.
And he was a very celebrated, because of the experience on Hey Saturday, and he would have experienced racism, but the quietness was deafening. And another brother, you know, this Peter Bow, he's from Abbey, Sudanese, granted that race over.
Oh, yeah. Commonwealth game.
Brother, Yeah. The silence is deafening from all them followers that the funding that went to Robert Costello to train our mob. Mm. Nobody was over there, brother.
Yes. Yeah, you got a point there. That's right, exactly. All that mob, exactly, you know. And then Robert Dear Casella, he was doing the marathons, virtually New York Marathon. That was the promo there. But there's a platform for our black kids to step into Commonwealth Olympic Games status. Yes.
Yeah, I had a few years, brother, to do that. I think it broke, you know, black over there. The other one, the short one on dementia, brother, people that have gone too far in their alcoholism, I had that. And explained to me, like, you lose your memory cells, and you can remember a long time ago, but nothing that happened recently. And you could, it's different to pass it in a blackout. A blackout is, a pass it when you go to sleep, you remember going to sleep, you remember it. A blackout is when you do normal things. Mm. But when they tell you after, my uncle, he went from Townsville to Brisbane, and he don't remember. And it's like a record, like a cassette. Remember the cassette? You press a record button, but you really want it, and press the play button. There's nothing there. Dementia, so anybody can have a dementia. But, brother, I've got a book from the library for memory, to improve my memory. Mm. And, brother, that book, I got it was all with you. I forgot where I left it.
I left it. Probably in the toilet, brother.
Yeah, okay, bro.
Thank you. Take care, brother. That's Selwyn, regular caller here on your daily program, National Talk Black. It's come to the time where Trendy Trev signs off for today. Back in the hots again tomorrow with that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Thank you for your time, you mob. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong.